Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York City. And I'm sitting here on this lovely Sunday evening, the 11th of November, at my bright red desk after a nice kind of quiet weekend where I really ran around a lot. I'm still in the process of getting over my cough and cold, so hopefully I won't cough too much tonight. Into the phone and into thus your ear. And forward we go. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about the week ahead. The purpose of this program is to assess what's going on in the heavens above and discuss how they're going to show up, how those energies may show up down here on Earth. And then secondly, to kind of offer you a little information about astrology and help you assess the heavens from your own chart's point of view. And third, to take calls from listeners or answer emails from writers, writer-inners, I don't know if that's a word, but the people who write with questions. So last week we did not have a show because I basically didn't have any voice. Sunday I was away, and then Monday when it came time to do it, it was even worse sounding than it is today. So it is kind of coming back, but we do seem to have a little seasonal post-nasal drip, I'm thinking. It's because it's kind of the cold, but it's not. It's more stuff, you know, going down the back of the throat. So I do apologize for my Greta Garbo-sounding voice, and we'll talk this week about what's going on in the week ahead and what it feels like. So last week was notable for a few reasons, which we'll cover now because I didn't have the radio show last week. Last week we had a couple things happen. We had a really powerful new moon that took place late Thursday night for the West Coast people, early Friday morning for the East Coast. So all week long we were kind of building up to that energy. Obviously we had the elections that were pretty tumultuous in terms of shifting the power in the country. And the Scorpio new moon at 13 degrees of Scorpio is a very powerful moon for a few reasons. One was the that Venus, when she stationed, took a retrograde this fall, stationed at the degree of 13. So she stationed right on the same degree as the new moon is this week. And what a new moon does is it says to you, okay, we're starting again. We're starting afresh. We're starting with a new story. And Venus has been traveling in the Via Combustia since late August, early fall. And she's basically there until we get to January. But she's going retrograde. And this week, actually, she goes back into Libra for 22 days in Libra. So she's going to be a little more upbeat and a little more positive. But last week, she was at the very early degrees of Scorpio. So she was in Scorpio, if we're looking at decans, which is how we assess the sign. So she was very heavy into Scorpio energy. And also the new moon was in Scorpio, 13 degrees. The same degree that Venus stopped at. So that makes 13 degrees Scorpio particularly powerful in the heavens. And because Venus stationed on it, we have an extra added little thing. New moon's degrees are always powerful because they start a new cycle. So we're going to watch that degree point, 13, over the next 2.5 years as Venus, or as the sun and the moon dance around it. So right now, the new moon at 13 degrees Scorpio says, ooh. And then in next August, when the sun is in Leo and the moon is in Scorpio, we're going to have the opening test. And then 10 months later from that, when the sun is in Taurus and the moon is in Scorpio, we're going to have the full moon. And then 10 months after that, when the sun is in Aquarius and the moon is in Scorpio, we'll have the closing moon. So a lunar cycle runs 30 days, which we know, you know, new moon to new moon, but it also runs for 2.5 years. So this new moon that was seeded this week has a lot of energy around your direction, your emotional direction, okay? Not necessarily your intellectual direction, but your emotions. And remember, Scorpio is a very private house. It's a very deep house, many, many layers. And it also is the area in our chart that we often have the hardest time talking about because it's the adult energies, the adult consciousness of the things that are not to be discussed. Cancer is the house that we don't have words for, the fourth house, because we didn't have words when the stories in the Cancer house were going on, because they were in the house. You know, people didn't know what went on in your house when you were a little kid. It was like your house. It was private. And also, that's the pre-verbal time. The Cancer house is pre-verbal. So those are the messages you get that you can't even name or talk about because you didn't have words for them. But the Scorpio house, that's the house that speaks to the stuff that you learned was forbidden or you weren't to talk about or that your parents didn't talk about and that you kind of went, oh, that's not a topic we can discuss. It's the conversations that we don't have about how much you pay in taxes or what your sex life is like or death, you know, the things that we don't talk about. And then, of course, the deep psychological issues and how much the other guy makes in money. You know how much, you know, if you've ever been in a job where you found out who gets paid what and how everybody gets all incensed because they make that much. We don't talk about other people's money in the workplace for that very reason. And Scorpio's house has a very long story around the psychological issues that we have around things. And then the Pisces house, of course, is the deep unconscious. It's our own unconscious where we do things and we don't even realize we're doing them that self-sabotage us or cause us problems. It's also the past life story that we come in with that is seeding our soul's direction in this life, because it's that time right before we're born where the history of our soul lurks and gathers speed and energy to communicate to our ascendant. Well, this is your past life that you're carrying with you. These are the memories. But the Scorpio house is the adult conscious house in this lifetime that we file away our secret stuff in. This is where that remembrance of not getting chosen for the basketball team happened, or the anxiety around the first date, or that time when you had that horrible experience with so-and-so. It all goes into the 12th house, or the 8th house. It's all in that little house. All the shame, the humiliation, the stuff that, you know, that we don't talk about, maybe with our therapist, but not even always then, because it's that house. It's the stuff that we keep hidden from ourselves often, but always from the world. And what Venus has been doing since September has been dancing in that house. And she's been saying, but if you keep it hidden, honey, I can never help you. Get past it, because it's hidden. So yesterday I was talking to a friend who heard from an old beau, and it had not ended well for a number of reasons. And I was being very practical and logical and rational and, you know, a little mean, not meaning to be mean, but I could feel myself being mean, like, why are you going back again? Why are you doing this? And I hung up and I thought about it for a little while and I thought, no, I need to call her back now as the friend, the good friend that calls and says, hey, you know. And what I remembered was when I had broken up with my ex and I had gone to therapy because it was a 14 and a half year relationship and it was kind of a problem and yada yada. And the nasty things that he said that would come into your soul, you know, and were like burrs, and that would stick in you. And, you know, in like every time you rubbed your hand over it, like a little splinter, you knew it was there. And like a lot of times when you break up with someone, that splinter place gets triggered. And so, you know, I would go in with the latest fight or the latest conversation or whatever. We were very civil, but it wasn't very kind. And I would say it, and Dr. Cohen would go, well, now, Anne. And he would reflect it back to me in a way that made it not so painful. Because those words that you say when you're departing from someone, some of them are your issues, some of them are their issues. But regardless, they're not always nice, and they sometimes stick like a burr or a splinter or just a cut, you know, a paper cut, those cuts that are just so annoying. And it was helpful for me because part of what happens is those are the words you remember. Those are the things that you hold in your heart. And in this case with this friend, I called her back and I said, okay, now I'm calling back as Anne the friend because there were horrible words spoken and you need to pull those out like splinters. And she had actually removed a splinter at one point, and I knew she was a really good splinter remover. I said, you know, you're really good at taking out splinters. And she said, well, actually, I'm known in my family for removing splinters. And I said, well, you've got splinters in there, so you have to figure out how to pull them out. It doesn't have to be with me, but you have to get them out of you And Venus in Scorpio kind of sticks us with splinters. So the full moon, the new moon, rather, I'm sorry, that we had this weekend, had splinters in it, or it brought up things that were deep in your unconscious for you to look at and to see and to say, okay, how are we going to work with these? What are we going to do? Because this is something that's gone in and it's causing an irritation, and it needs to get out of you before you can really go forward in your complete fullness to be the person you're going to be. And some of these things can be really, really old, okay? Really old, not necessarily related, quote-unquote, apparently, quote-unquote, to the situation at hand, but they are related to it, okay? So when you're poking along this week and last week, the story that surfaces actually is a splinter. It's tied to an earlier time. It's tied to an earlier story. And when you pull the splinter out, you know, sometimes they look like there's just a little piece there, but it goes really deep, right? This is a pretty deep splinter. Your purpose in pulling this splinter is to give yourself permission to let it surface, to let it come out, to see it, to get it out of you. You have to get it out of you to be able to heal. And Venus in retrograde in Scorpio has been really poking us and poking at our tender parts and poking at our unspoken parts and getting us all very aware of where we're not necessarily kind to ourselves or where we agree with what we were told. You know, we were told we were unlovable, we were told we were on this, we were not able to have that, we were told whatever, and we kind of are in the mood to say, well, why do I believe that again? And that's part of what this is about. It's about getting that stuff conscious and looking at it and saying, okay, I was told that, but do I believe that now? That's Venus in Scorpio. But because it was packed away in that dark, shadowy place in your consciousness, in your being, because you were shamed or because you were humiliated or because you were almost killed or because there was some big scary thing that went with it or because you thought you would be killed. You didn't have to be killed. You thought you would be killed. You got nervous, so you packed it. And that's okay. I don't have a problem with packing it. We all do it. That's how it's called defense mechanisms. It's how we survive. But the universe is now saying to you, it's not helpful to you to keep that packed anymore. We have to dig it out, and we have to look at it, and we have to clean it up, and we have to polish it and see what it really is. Who knows? Maybe it's a Michelangelo in there that you've got packed away in your attic or in your closet or in your psyche. So pull it out. Let's look. The other thing that happened last week was because this particular new moon was biggie, it also had a finger of God in it. Fingers of God, of course, are those karmic moments in time where we go left, right, forward, oh my God, what the hell's going on? And the universe takes us where it wants us to go. So when there's a finger of God in a chart, it has an energy of fate. So if you look at Barack Obama's chart, fate. He's going to do well for the first 21 months, and then he's going to have to fight. Fate. His fate just came into him saying, okay, you're not the king anymore. You got the Republicans to deal with. Fate. The Republicans now have a fate, too, because now, rather than being obstructionist idiots, they have to actually show up and do something productive. They can't just say no, no, no. They actually have to come up with some good ideas, or ideas, at least, and rather than being the party of no. For all of us, this is a moment and a turning point. And in each of our lives, there's a moment of fate that we're being asked to look at and asked to understand it from a different point of view. From the point of view of your soul, looking at your purpose in life, why you're here. And that was also that new moon. Now, interestingly, when, of course, you know, the universe always, my favorite thing when I'm teaching my students is to say, look, the chart will show it to you many, many ways, so that even if you're a bad astrologer, or if your chart is being read by a bad astrologer, you're not going to miss it. So this new moon also had on it the lovely fixed star, Sukalan. And Sukalan is a fixed star of the sea monster, the Loch Ness monster of the sky, the giant whale. Now, if you've ever done whale watching, when the whales pop up, it's very exciting. you know, it's kind of like whack on you. Go, wow, look at the whale. But it also is a little scary because all of a sudden this huge thing comes out from under the ocean. Well, you're having a sea monster erupt in your chart, erupt in your life, erupt somewhere in your world. It is surfacing from the unconscious. It is surfacing from below consciousness and erupting into your understanding, into your vision, into your ideas of who you are and what you're here for. The sea monster is rising from the bottom of the ocean. And it's saying to you, I am rising from the bottom of the ocean. Be aware. Understand that there's sea monsters down here. And that we're pretty big. Now, the other thing that's happening is it's parallel to the fixed star Menkaut, which is the dolphin star. I may have gotten those reversed. At any rate, Menkaut is the dolphin star, which says, let's swim and play and think about dolphins. You know, if you've ever been on a boat, they play in your bubbles. They love to dance in the bubbles and jump, and they have sex a lot, and they swim along, and they're happy and playful and cheerful. They're kind of like a lot of flippers, you know. And so you've got the sea monster erupting at the same time that there's this dolphin swimming there, saying to you, oh, don't be so silly. Don't worry. Let me help you. Let me see how you can play with this. Let me show you how you can work with this. That this thing that's surfacing from the deep part of your closet, from the deep part of your soul, that thing that seems so scary when it first appears, because, of course, it was scary when you packed it away in your closet. Now you look at it and you go, I don't think that's quite as scary as I thought it was. Wow. All these years it's been in the closet and I've been living in fear of it. It's really not that scary, is it? But it was scary when I put it in the closet. Back then it was really scary. And now I'm looking at it, and if I understand what it was I put in the closet, I can see these enormous correlations all through my life of how that story from my childhood played out in my first relationships, played out in my marriage, played out in my dating life, played out in my, or how my relationship with my father affected how well I did my work, affected my relationships with my boss, affected my ability to be an authority in my own career, or how my relationships with my mother affected my ability to nurture myself and take care of myself in a healthy manner and create in the way I'm allowed to because the moon is supported or not supported. If we understand what's been put in the closet, we can change going forward because we know we put it in the closet for safekeeping or because we were afraid of it or because we were ashamed of it or because we didn't know how to handle it when it was going on. And we went, oh, my God, I don't know how to handle this. We threw it in the closet. And it's been in there all these years or months or lifetimes or who knows. It's coming out of the closet now, okay? So you have to kind of talk to it. And when it comes out, it might look a little scary because it's a sea monster. It's been in the closet for a while. Who knows what else is in there with it? And it's mad. And it erupts from the ocean, and it goes, I'm here. I'm the sea monster. And you go, wow. And then you have to go, how can I play with you? How can I work with you? How can I make you happy? You know, I apologize for locking you in the closet all these years, but I didn't know what to do with you. The 12th, 8th house is the closet, the adult closet with the key on the door that we don't, the Bluebeard's closet we don't open and look in. But the universe has the door open. It's been throwing stuff out of the closet at us for the last few months. It's going to throw stuff out of the closet at us through January. Your job is to look in the closet. Be okay with it. You're going to be fine. This week, the closet opened. And Neptune and Chiron station, they're moving direct. Yay! And Venus is going backwards into Libra for 22 days, where she's going to be a little perky and a little happy because she's out of the closet and kind of be ready to work with you in a different way, to partner with you, to say, well, if you didn't leave me locked up in the closet and you used me, what all could you accomplish? Because you locked me up because you were ashamed of me or you were afraid of me or somebody told you that there was something wrong with me. I'm out now. I'm not going back in. I am the sea monster in your living room. What are you going to do with me? And so what you do is you play with the dolphins. And the dolphins say, well, it's one of us. It's part of us. Let's go swim around. Let's see what it's like. You know, see what the sea monster eats. Let's see what the sea monster likes for movies and entertainment. Let's see what the sea monster wants to talk to us about. It's not scary. It's your own insides. It's just the part that's scariest that you haven't talked to them in a really long time and, you know, it might not be happy with you. But that's okay. If you start talking to it, it'll be friendly. You just have to figure out how to work with the sea monster. So if the sea monster erupted last week, or if one erupts this week, because it could, you just kind of have to say, okay, I'm here. What do we need to do? How are we going to do it? Because this is the week, last week, this week, the sea monster comes out of the sea. And the dolphin says, well, what do you actually need to do to work with it? To play with it. To swim with it. To have fun with it. And that's the question. So when we look at the week ahead, this new moon seated, with separated. Now, on either side of the new moon, Neptune stationed and Chiron stationed, which, of course, were the understanding of the wound and understanding how to work with the wound, the spiritual wound that's been kind of hiding for the last few months. And now they're ready to go forward. And Neptune is going to go forward into Pisces, as is Chiron. Chiron was in Pisces already. That was when BP blew up. And then he went out of it in August. Neptune never got out of Aquarius, but it's going to next spring. And let me tell you, when Neptune goes into Pisces, we are really rocking, because at that same time, there's a passel of planets in Aries stimulating the Jupiter and Uranus. So this week is particularly important. Last week was particularly important in terms of your vision and how you're going to work with the stuff. And remember, no right or wrong. It's about working with it. It's understanding it. It's giving it a voice. It's giving it permission to speak to you and listening to what it says. And when you do that, you'll find it's not so bad. But if you're afraid of it, or if you run from it, or if it brings up all these old issues, your job is to say, you know, if I always cooperate with you so you don't kill me, so you don't hurt me, so you don't do something, I'm living in terror. I'm living as a terrorist. I've been terrorized into behaving and doing something that's not really my true path because I'm afraid. How can I work with you, O sea monster, and understand that you're actually part of me, and the only reason you're so scary is because I haven't worked with you up until yet. But now I want to work with you. If I do work with you, will it work out? And people often ask me that when I'm doing reading. You know, they'll go, well, all right, now let's say I decide to do that. Is it going to work out? And I'm always like, well, the more you become your chart, the easier it is to live your life, because you're not letting parts of your chart go without or go to waste or not be used. The whole idea is it all's supposed to work together. And we don't always do that, but to the greatest ability that we can, if we can get our chart to all kind of work as a team, makes our life a lot easier. And if there's a whole part of your chart or a whole part of your being, or there's a whole part of you that's scared to death of that planet in the corner, that sea monster in the corner of your being, it's your sea monster. You got to get to know it. You got to kind of figure out how to be friendly with it, you know, and watch it and understand that it's there for you because it's your sea monster. So I have my piano tuner here this week. Been a little while. I have not been playing the piano. I'm trying to get back to my work-life balance. The piano is out of tune. So Joseph, the wonderful piano tuner, explains to me, well, Anne, you know, when a piano is out of tune, the harmonics are in discordance with your own being. So he's kind of a metaphysical piano tuner. So you don't want to play your piano because it's out of tune with you. And I'm like, okay, it wasn't because I had too much shit to do, huh? My piano was out of tune. I like that, metaphysically imbalanced. And he's telling me this story about tuning a piano at someone's house, and they had an Abyssinian cat. Now, if you know, I have a couple of cats, and the cats, when Joseph's here, come and gaze at him and watch him and make sure that he's not doing anything untoward to my piano. And he was telling me that the cats think that everything in their house is theirs, you know. And I'm like, yeah, that's about right. So he was telling me this story about an Abyssinian that he'd been left in the house with a housekeeper while the owners had left, and he was taking a crystal vase off of the piano when the Abyssinian cat attacked him because he was moving something. So that he had chased the cat, he and the housekeeper had chased the cat into the kitchen, where the cat proceeded to throw itself against the door to try and get to them, to take them out. You know? So they went and got the doorman for some reason, one of the maintenance guys, who normally got along very well with the cats, and he went into the kitchen to get something for the housekeeper because she was afraid to go in there with the cats that were attacking them. And that the cat, like, jumped on the doorman's neck and tried to bite him, and the guy came flying out of the room. So the imagery was very apt for the giant sea monster in the form of a small cat jumping, protecting, guarding what it thought was its treasures. So I'll give you that imagery too, that it's a giant cat biting at your neck, trying to get you to put it down. So for those of you who don't like cats, that might be a better image than a sea monster. But it's that protectiveness. It's that self-protective, no, you can't have this. You can't touch my stuff. I'm gonna scratch you and bite you and guard you and keep you away from it. Otherwise, you might run off with my crystal vase. And so then he told the story of the owner comes home, and the owner's holding the cat, same cat that attacked him, upside down, petting the belly of the cat. The cat's purring. And the owner goes, "This is the nicest cat. It wouldn't hurt a fly." And Joseph was like, I know about that cat. You know, I know what that cat can do when you're not looking. Now, cats, interestingly, are our sixth house. Okay, so that describes what the owner's really like, too. He can be very cuddly and all, but he also can be a very ferocious competitor. And the cat, actually, the owner is a hedge fund guy, so, you know, he probably is a ferocious competitor. But it also is a good thing to look at your pets this week, because your pets are really going to be symbolic for you of what's going on in your physical life, what's happening for you, what's going on with your sea monster, because they're your physical representation on Earth, being your sixth house, also your workplace, what's going on in your workplace or in your work, what's going on with your health. Or in your health. So mine, losing my voice, what is it I'm not ready to say? Well, I did a little work on that this week. I got a voice back. But it's understanding that our sixth house often helps us access the eighth, because it's the gentle way in. It's the way into the psyche, the body as a measure, as a communicator, and says, this is what's actually going on. Let me tell you what's going on. And the body will speak for us. We know that when it gets, you know, certain communications or certain diseases, it'll let us know what's happening. So your job also is to listen to the body as a communicator for you, to you, about your inner being. Okay? So it's a really powerful, powerful time. Also listen to your dreams between now and next Tuesday, because Tuesday morning is when we're still in the dark of the moon right now. We're still on the new moon. So the stuff you heard Saturday, the stuff you heard Sunday, the stuff you hear Monday, all counts, all within that first 45 degrees of the new moon. They all count as the new moon, as part and parcel of the way the universe is trying to communicate to you. So your job is to kind of listen to it and say, oh, that's what you were meaning to say to me. I get it. And even if you don't get it, just look, because you don't actually have to do anything with it yet. You don't have to do anything with it for a while. I'll tell you when, but you do have to look at it and see what you see. Okay, so coming up in the week ahead, we have Venus going into Libra tonight at 10 o'clock in a couple hours, in an hour actually. And Neptune went direct today. So that sense of lethargy and the sense of being wiped out and emotionally exhausted will shift and leave when she starts moving direct. Plus we had Daylight Savings Time, my favorite personal unreal holiday, because it's like you get an extra hour of sleep. It always feels so decadent. So make sure your clocks are adjusted. It's actually 9:29, not 10:29, because we fell back an hour. Then tomorrow, Mercury goes into Sagittarius tomorrow night, and we get a little more fire in the sky. So we've got Mars in fire. We got Venus going into air, so she's going to be a lot lighter. We got Mercury going into Sag, so he's not in the place he likes. He tends to over-communicate, but he's going to be a little more happy chatty. The moon in Sagittarius today, tomorrow, and all tomorrow night is got a good closing aspect of a sextile to Venus, so it's very positive. So giving it permission to talk to you and give you ideas and help you see things. Fire moons are always helpful after, especially emotional moons. On Tuesday, Wednesday, through Thursday, around 5:30, but actually the moon goes void around 3 on Thursday in Eastern time, the moon is in Capricorn with a closing aspect of a square to Venus. So it can be a little bit of an overdoing moon, but it's not a bad moon. And Capricorn moons are good and solid and reliable, but you can overdo it a little bit emotionally. And also because it's Capricorn, you're going to fall back into Saturn's grip, but Saturn's a little happier now because Venus is in Libra. Even though she is going to go back into Scorpio, she's crawled up on the ground, she's drying off, and she's rinsing off her mud-soaked clothes and getting a little ribbon in her hair and feeling a little better. And then on the 11th, Thursday, Veterans Day, and Friday, 11th evening, Friday all day, Saturday all day, the moon is in Aquarius with a closing aspect of a trine to Venus. Again, very positive. This is going to be a very upbeat week, especially after last week. And then on Sunday, the moon is in Pisces. Sunday the 14th, the moon is in Pisces with a closing aspect of a conjunction to Uranus, asking that we change. Now, the only days that are really kind of difficult this week are the 9th, the 9th Tuesday. And the reason it's difficult is more from the perspective of Pluto joining to the North Node. And what Pluto joining to the North Node does is a couple things. It triggers a change or a loss or a separation of some sort, because anything on the nodes change things. So people that have been hanging on by a thread can take off, or people that are, you know, due to change or leave. It also is an ending time where people are in the mood to end things. So you want to kind of watch and say, oh, wow, that's ending, eh? And it also is a time of completion, because Pluto on the North Node, it's a time of power. It's a time of owning your power. But it does trigger the eclipse from last summer. So it's going to bring up the story from last June, and say to you, June 26th, say to you, are you really want to do this? It also is one of the days for the market crashes. For those of us who are still waiting to see if the stock market crashes, it will be Monday or Tuesday. we'll see what happens. If it doesn't go this week, it's probably not happening, which is good news for some, bad news for others. If you've been shorting the market, bad news. But if you've been shorting the market, good news if it does crash. So we watch that north node on the Pluto triggering the eclipse degree. That is on Tuesday the 9th. And that's kind of a big one. So a lot of the week's emotional energy will center around what goes down on Tuesday. And our job is simply to say, okay, so if we're working with this kind of energy, how do we work with it productively? And then secondly, if it's a sea monster surfacing from inside, giving it permission to talk to you, or at least just listening to it. You don't have to actually do anything. You just have to look at it and listen to it. And when you do that, it automatically sparks a change because you've seen it. You've gotten it. And once you see it and get it, it changes something. It doesn't feel so overwhelming because it's real then, or it's an understanding of reality, what reality is. And once you get it, you go, wow, that was a horrible thing, but it's not happening anymore, is it? Maybe my mother didn't love me the way I wanted, or my father didn't think I was a good kid. But that's okay. I am who I am. You know, I was talking to somebody today, and they said, you know, their father says to them, you know, I heard from another person how nice you were and how great you were. And her comment was, so why do you say it to me like that? And it's like because he didn't really have anything to do with her when she was growing up, right? But now he's hearing how great she is. So what does he do? Does he take credit for something he didn't do? No. But she's aware of the fact that it's kind of a little weird for him to keep getting these compliments as if he'd done something. It's understanding the sea monster, the hard part. That's where we're working. We're working in that hard part now. We're working in the consciousness around what our vision is for ourselves. What are we here for? And once we get clear on what that early training, why that sea monster exists, we can work with it in a more productive way. It's our sea monster. It's there for a reason. We needed it to become the people we became. But now it's been in the closet. Time for some new clothes. Get that sea monster out. Clear it out of the closet so we can move forward and create. If you can focus it that way and you can play with the sea monster, because it's actually a very lonely little guy. You know, he's been in the closet all these years, you know, hiding from you, hiding from everybody that you know. Yeah, you know, show him off. He's a sea monster. People may go, what a lovely little sea monster you have there. Where did you get that from? I want one of my own. You know, you may find it's really a very nice little sea monster if you let it out. So that's the scoop. That's the scoop. Really lovely closing aspects this week. Great week for all sorts of things going out in the world. We got two planets in fire. We got the moon going into Venus going into Libra. We are going to feel so much lighter and better and optimistic and less beaten up by the forces of the universe. It's going to be great. So forward we go. No wishes, no problems, just focusing. Now, the call-in number, if you want to call in with a question or a comment or an observation, 347-215-7467. 347-215-7467. And if you called in and you did not press 1, your hand is not raised, and I won't call on you unless you press 1. So you have to press 1 for me to be able to see you and call on you. Okay? So press 1, raise your hand, and then I will call on you. So forward into the rest of the week. Now, one of the things that we find as Venus goes retrograde is that she is really speaking to us about our bigger purpose, you know, why we're here, what the point of that is. And as she goes back, she's on the Via Combusta, meaning that she's traveling on the path of fire. So she's really very illuminated in this section. There are a lot of stars in this part of the heavens. They're not always nice stars, but there are a lot of stars up there. So they give her a lot of vision and a lot of light in terms of what she wants to do and where she wants to go and what she's trying to accomplish. And so your job, as she goes backwards across the Via, is to say, wow, that's really cool. Let's see what that looks like. Let's see what actually happens. Let's see what goes on. And giving her permission, because she's in Libra, she's going back to that first week, second week in September, when she was last there. She's going to be talking to you about the direction that she wants to head in. And so give her permission to talk to you, because she's also going to be bringing up the story from last fall. So I see a hand got raised. Hi, 404. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little better. My cold is improving. Can I help you?
I'm glad. Yes, thank you. I was wondering if you would look at my chart and tell me how this new moon in Scorpio could potentially help me have a better relationship with someone that I'm dating.
Okay, cool. What's your birthday?
Or just how the transits or how transits in general would. It's 2/2/1982.
Mm-hmm.
At 11:55 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Right after midnight? Or right before lunchtime.
Oh, right before noon.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right before lunch.
Okay.
Okay. And
yeah.
Place?
The Bronx in New York.
Okay. And the question is where it's doing in your chart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see what's going on. Okay, so the new moon is at 13 degrees of Scorpio. So you have your sun, interestingly, at 13 degrees of Aquarius. So that's a square. And 13 degrees of Scorpio takes place in your sixth house, meaning your daily routines and your daily activities. And it's also partners, either if it's a dating kind of person, like you're just romantically involved but you don't ever plan on marrying them, either their money or their financial value and how they're valued, or if it's a partner that you're thinking of partnering with for really serious, it's their 12th house of how they undo themselves. So it's two different answers. If it's a partner that you want to, that's worried about his job or her job money-wise, then this is going to bring some major changes in their employment. if it's a partner that you're trying to partner with as a human being, have a relationship with, it's back to the story of their mother and your father and working out those stories with each other. Because their mother story is very strong around maybe not being valued the way they wanted to be valued and not being seen. And your father's story is very strong in terms of how you give yourself permission to be seen in the world. And with the Gemini rising, your chart has a Gemini rising that says, gee, I don't know how I'm really seen. And the Mercury ruler of the Gemini is up there with the Sun. So it's a couple things. It's about talking about what's really important to you in your life, what your dreams are, and also getting them to talk about what's important about their dreams from their childhood perspective, focusing particularly on age 10 and on age 13 and a half. And if you look at those ages, and really often 13 is a big one for all of us because we're getting ready to hit puberty, we're starting to kind of change direction, and we're starting to step forward into being an adult, but we're not really ready to be on our own yet. And your story with the Sun and Mercury high says there was some inability to be heard or seen really well by your dad, by the authorities, by the men in your life. And partner had a major mother story. And so that piece comes, and so he rebels or she rebels from the perspective of, gee, you know, Uranus angular. You tell me I should go green, they go red. You say I should drive, I'm going to walk. You say I should be there at 6, I'm going to be there at 10. So the obstructionist behavior or the behavior that is bad, your chart has trouble asking the behavior to calm down, and their chart has trouble taking any kind of instruction. So you have to kind of find a middle place about what you both want in the relationship, and that will help calm it. But really for you, because partner always is a vehicle for you to get clear, is the relationship that you saw between your parents probably isn't one you want in your own life. So that you have to come up with your new own definition, Mercury at the top of your chart, of what the vision is you want for yourself, Sun and Aquarius, that's different than what you were raised with. And you were told, well, this is what's good. And then your chart said, but I don't want that. And you've got an inconjunct between the Moon and your Pluto that says, well, I was told this is what was what I should want, but I don't want that. And so then you tend to not pick for what you really truly want. So what this new moon is asking you to do is to define what you really want as opposed to what anybody told you you wanted or that you should want. And that's the question. So what is it you really want in your relationship with partner?
I don't know. I would have to think about that.
Yeah. Did you want the relationship that your parents had?
I like some things about it, but I'd probably want more. They're very committed to each other and very in love, but I don't know. It seems a little bit boring. I'd probably want somebody, I'd want a more spiritual relationship. I'd want us to have more fun.
Okay, so what does that look like as a partner? And is the person you're currently with spiritual? Are
they
fun? They are spiritual, but are they fun?
I'm not sure. I think so. My partner puts a lot of planets on my fifth house. He also puts a lot of planets on my 12th house, and his Sun is conjunct my Moon. So I think I've read someplace that when somebody's in your 12th house like that, it means that you are able to view them as like a godlike person or somebody who's able to open you up to spirituality or something like that. And then just based on what I know about the 5th house, I'm going to assume that he is going to help me to just be more creative and to have fun. I think that's like the house of fun.
It is the house of fun and creativity. And the 12th house is the spiritual house. 12th house is also a house where you can have relationships that come in from a past life, meaning that you feel like you know them and you're resolving some issues from that lifetime in this lifetime. And so you want to watch when you're working with 12th house people that land in your 12th house, what the story is that causes the problem. Not that, you know, every relationship has problems of some sort, but very often the problem that was in the past life plays out in the current life. And in your case, the moon is the apex of what's called the finger of God.
Yeah.
So when you have that, it also ties back to what's of value of you for you, because the moon rules your second, and it also rules your third, how well you say what's of value to me. So, yes, he makes you playful. He makes you, brings out your spirituality, but does he appear and show up and keep his commitments the way he's supposed to, or does he kind of somehow play a little fast and loose with what you like in terms of regularity? And then secondly, you know, how he's different than mom and dad, and how he matches what your vision is for yourself. You know, we don't often think about what we actually want, right? And Venus retrograde right now, she's been playing in your sixth house of what you want in your daily routines. What's your vision for yourself every day? What does that look like? And giving that permission to talk and say, you know, every day what I would like in my life is this. And how does that play out in a relationship with partner or in relationship with you? So it's figuring that out, too. That's the other piece, I think, of it, because the Venus going through there. And right now Saturn is in your fifth house, encouraging you to play more and to transiting Saturn and to be more playful and creative. But as he comes up to join your natal Saturn-Pluto next fall, he's going to say to you, I want you to get serious about relationship now. What does relationship look like every day? And a lot of times when we're raised, you know, we think that what our parents have or the relationships that we see every day are the only kind that we can have. And part of our process, and certainly with your chart, because Saturn and Pluto are joined in Libra, the part of the relationship dynamic that went on with your folks needs to be looked at to say, well, I like these five things that they did, but these other stuff, no, I don't want that in mine. Oh, wow, what I want instead is this. And so Venus for you right now is really asking you to define what you want in a partner, what you want in an ongoing daily routine. What does that look like? And we don't often think about it because we were raised to be and told this is what relationships look like, and we don't go and say, well, what do I want? And then when you do that, sometimes you find you want something different than what you were raised with. So, yeah, the person's good, fifth house, love that, that's fun. 12th house, love that, that's fun. 5th house, but nothing in the 7th makes me a little nervous. So then if it's their 5th, they're in your 5th, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all of their stuff in your 12th house is bringing up past life stuff that can be unconscious for you. And then the new moon is taking place in their 2nd house of what's of value to them. So what you want to have the conversations with them about are what's of value to them in relationship so that you can see where you fit in their ongoing, if you fit even. Because sometimes you'll find when you have that conversation, they say, well, you're really nice, but I don't really know that I'm able to do that. Because if they've got Saturn going through their first house right now, if they're in your fifth house, so kind of check with them and see where they are in terms of relationship stuff. And then also see what you want with the Gemini rising. It can be two things, and it doesn't mean they're mutually exclusive. It's just finding what those two things are. That makes sense?
I have one more. Yeah, that makes
sure.
sense. I have
mm-hmm.
one more related question. So
sure.
when I did a composite chart for me and him, there
mm-hmm.
were, like, a whole lot of grand trines.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, isn't it?
That is good, but it can be, you want a little bit of squares, because the squares are what help you get out of bed and do things. So grand trines can be very nice, but what can happen is you have in your chart, you have some T-squares. So you do need the T-squares to get you moving, you know, to get you kind of going, okay, what do I need to do now? How do I need to create it? But, yeah, grand trines definitely are nice. And what we like to see in composite charts are planets that are in compatible houses, like below the horizon, so that you want to spend time together. We like it if the ascendants match, your ascendant or his ascendant. and we'd like to see a good, nice, comfortable Saturn aspect. And Saturn, we want Saturn because he marks time. He shows us time. But, yeah, we definitely like grand trines. But you
Saturn
do have a little...
Saturn
aspect to Saturn or Saturn aspect to anything, because he means time, that you're going to spend time in the relationship. And you have a Saturn in a relationship sign. He's in Libra. And he aspects your Venus natally, and he aspects your node. So a lot of the times the relationships you're going to pull in, any relationship you pull in, are going to be relationships that involve a past life or involve people that you've worked with in previous lifetimes that you're balancing some step with. Because you have a Saturn-Venus aspect, Saturn is time and also the past, and karma, Saturn rules karma, and he's squared in your nodes in the house of, and the Venus is joined to the south node in a relationship capacity. So we like grand trines, but we like squares too. Don't think squares are bad. Squares are what lets you create something from a relationship too. You know, so they give you the ability to get some work done or to get created what you want. Too many grand trines, you can be lazy, or a person can be lazy, or they can be kind of adrift. It's not always a great, I mean, they're lovely, don't want to get rid of the grand trines, but we do want to say, you know, give yourself some squares too, because they actually help you accomplish stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yes, it does.
Cool, yeah, but keep it, I would really focus on, with the moon, with Venus and Jupiter working on your chart, I would really... and Venus in there in that sixth house, what your daily vision of life is, what you want that to be. And you do have that lovely Taurus moon, you know, and that's a good, and sun moon is a lovely connection. But with him having a lot of planets in your 12th house, it's also what part of that relationship is private or secret that doesn't get seen by the world. You know, is it a secret relationship, or are there parts of it that are secret? Because 12th house is often secrets.
Yeah.
Too. So you want to know what the secrets are.
Okay.
He's got some. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Not bad. Just kind of ask him what his secrets are.
Okay.
Around what he thinks is possible for himself in relationship.
Okay.
And he may say, I think it's fun, but I don't know that I want to get serious. Or I think it's great, but you're nice, but I don't know. And you want to know that, so you know what your plans are. Or he may say, you know, you're fabulous, and I'm planning on marrying you in 10 years from now. And you go, okay, good. And you go, 10 years, man, that's a long time. It's getting him to talk about what's of value to him. Because for him, this is the value. What he's having is value conversations with Venus in that second house, traveling through his second house if he's got a lot of planets in your fifth.
Hmm.
Make sense?
Okay. Yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck with it. Keep me posted.
All right. Okay.
Bye. Okay, so if you want to call in and ask a question, 347-215-7467, raise your hand and I'll call on you. And the way you do that is you press 1. So forward we go. All right, we did have a couple of emails from readers or listeners, or I don't know what the right word would be to say at this point, but we did have some people write in and say, you know, ask some questions about how do they work with the energy of Venus retrograde, really feeling kind of overwhelmed with it. And I think the thing that, you know, there were a couple like that, so I'm just going to kind of deal with that until somebody else raises their hand. It's understanding that part of where we're going with this Venus retrograde is it's asking us each to come up with our vision for the future. Now, we had the Cardinal Cross last summer, and the Cardinal Cross last summer really spoke to the greater vision of where we're starting with the new cycles. Because we have 5 outer planets, 6 if you count Pluto, even though he's been in Capricorn for a little bit, but he's just starting to get his grounding, you know, because he was a 2. We really like a planet to be at 3 before we think it's in the sign. So we've got 6 planets, outer planets, changing signs. Pluto starting a new 248-year cycle. Neptune, which changes next spring, starting a new 164-year cycle. Chiron, which changed this summer and went into Pisces, which was the BP thing, and then went back, he's starting a new 50-year cycle. Uranus went into Aries in June, and he goes back in March, starting a new 84-year cycle. Saturn in Libra, cardinal sign, starting a new 30-year cycle. And Jupiter into Aries, again in January, starting a new 12-year cycle. So think about that. 12 years, 30 years, 50 years, 84 years, 248 years, 164 years. It's a lot of new cycles starting. And if we count some of the trans-Neptunians, Hades, you know, new 41-year cycle, I mean, we got a lot of new cycles starting, right, that are saying to us, we're starting a new cycle. So when we start a new cycle, everything begins again. So that happened in the summer. We got the message, we're starting a new summer, a new cycle. And we started some of it already. We're going to start the rest of it in January, and then in March, and then in April. Okay? And by that point, everybody's in to their new signs, and it's forward motion. So now, because there's all these new cycles starting, Venus is in Scorpio. And Scorpio says, go back and look at the dead. Go back and look at what you've accomplished. Go back and look at what's important. Venus is the planet of desire, what we want, or what we say we want. And when she's in Scorpio, what she does is she counts. So she's the time when we come back from the farmer's market and we count up how much money we made by selling all the stuff we grew. And we go, you know, if I'd grown more broccoli, I could have made more money. Or if I'd grown more Brussels sprouts, there was a run on Brussels sprouts. It's where we assess how we did. So Venus dancing back and forth in Scorpio over this month, over these months from September, October, November, December, January, 5 months she's in Scorpio, 100 days. She's saying to us, assess what you've done. Assess where you are. It's okay. You're going to be good. But you have to give yourself permission to change if it's not working for you. You have to plan something new if this whole cycle hasn't amounted to what you wanted. Because we're at the change point now. We're at the transition point. We're shifting into a whole new way of being. What's your new vision for yourself? And that's what Venus in Scorpio really asks us for. She says to us, where are you going? What are you trying to do? What did you want? What'd you get? How are they the same? And if you give that permission to happen, that will help this cycle much, 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 much easier, much, much kinder, more open, more available, more more energetically available for you to approach yourself and to approach others. And also, if you run into people that are having a hard time, say to them, well, what do you wish you'd changed? Or what do you wish was different? And that is the place to stand, because then it can name itself. It can speak. And then clarity comes, because that's the light. Now, this week we have more fire. We have Venus going into air signs. Fire and air helps us see things, helps us understand things, helps us understand what it's all about. So that's the idea. Just watch, just look, pay attention, see what you see, understand what you understand. Give yourself permission. Give yourself permission to look at it. Not to be mad at it, just to look at it. Don't judge it, just look at it. And say, well, okay, if I didn't do that, or if I changed that belief, or I changed the way I assessed that, or I valued that differently, where would I be now? What would happen to me? And very often what would happen is kind of a shift and a change, an adjustment, so to speak, a new way of looking at things. So that's the goal. Not to throw everything out, just to see. That's the job for the week. Mercury in fire, Mars in fire, Venus in air. Three of our planets are leaving the muck and the mire, going up on the shore to dry out and to help you see. Life is happening again. So take care. Have a great week. This is Ann Ortley, and this is my weekly weather report. So now I'm going to go hang up and have myself a cup of tea and get ready for the week ahead. So take care, and tell your friends about the show, and feel free to call for a reading in person where you get a whole hour, and I ask a lot more questions and talk to you about a lot more other things. Take care and be well, and give everybody a hug. You're going to feel so much better this week because we're out of the mud. Bye.